Welcome to the Ford Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 10th of June, recording at 9:21 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, a quick look at the highlights here today. Asian stock markets were firm. Number of new highs, including China, India, Indonesia, Thailand, new highs, of course, for this particular uptrend. The European stock markets were generally firm, although off their highs for the most part as Wall Street weakened. But Wall Street pared back declines and ended the day with just down just slightly, sort of a third of a percent, and recouped more than three quarters of the losses that had persisted for much of the day. Elsewhere, long-dated government bonds were weak. The 30-year Treasury is currently down over a full point on the futures. The U.S. dollar, however, is steadier in here today. And, for instance, it had weakened to 141.44 against the euro this morning, but then knocked that back to 139.16, and is currently at 139.90. And the US dollar index closed is back above the 80 level, currently at 80.24. In precious metals, they bobbed about a little bit, stronger in the morning as the dollar was weaker, in the afternoon as the dollar rallied, but then pared back those declines to close just about unchanged. And copper had a similar move, closing with a modest gain in here today. Most of the other industrial metals were slightly easier. The commodities were mixed. Okay. So what's going on here overall? Well, veteran subscribers will remember many earlier comments on the Wall Street leash effect. And basically, the way the Wall Street leash effect goes, and remember, for newer subscribers, that due to the U.S. stock market's large capitalization and the fact that the U.S. economy is still the biggest economy in the world by far. Therefore, its stock market casts a long shadow. And the bottom line in terms of the leash effect is that if Wall Street is rising to neutral, that is a positive influence on other stock markets, or if it's neutral, that's benign, and as long as it's within what has been an earlier rising trend, has been the case for Wall Street off its March lows. So against that background, the markets with the better fundamentals, and those will be resources producers and Asian emerging markets, and some of those are Asian resources producers, such as Indonesia, will do considerably better. And that's what we've been seeing recently. The danger occurs when Wall Street breaks downwards, which it hasn't done since February. But when Wall Street next breaks its progression of little upward steps, and those steps are broadening, here now, showing us, as I've mentioned before, that supply and demand is moving back into balance. But when Wall Street eventually breaks its short-term uptrend since the March lows, then that will rein in some of these stock markets that are actually accelerating a bit on the upside. So this is a little bit of a tricky period in here right now. And how to play it, I have said on some broadcasts that that we can pretty well count on a correction occurring. And I've got an email on this in here today, so I won't elaborate too much here. But the beta factor would ensure that the correction was a bigger percentage in terms of retracement of gains for the thinner and high-flying emerging markets than it would be for Wall Street. But Wall Street has been a big laggard. And Wall Street, for instance, from its March low to the high that I think we saw last week, although it's very close to that level or not far off that level right now, I think Wall Street, beg your pardon, the S&P has seen a 41% gain off that low. Well, that's an impressive statistic off a March low because this has been a persistent type 2 beginning of a new bull market, in my opinion. But you compare that gain to a number of the other emerging markets, a number of the emerging markets, and they show gains of 75 to 100% or more. So they have way outperformed. Then if we factor in currencies, that outperformance is just that much greater because the dollar has been quite weak recently. So for instance, against a resources currency such as the Australian dollar, that 41% gain in the S&P shrinks to 19% as of a high last month against the Australian dollar. And it's well off that high in here today. So what's that all mean? Well, I think that means several things. One is that in the international beauty contest, remember we recommend, Owen and I have often recommended that investors survey and select, choosing among global markets the way a judge would look for the most promising candidates at an international beauty contest, the most beautiful candidates. And those are fuller money themes, fortunately, as we've mentioned before. But I'd be a little bit careful here, as I say, in the short term, because we could well see a pullback. The point I've really been trying to make is that anyone who is nervous about a pullback, it's better to sell before it starts to occur, rather than after it's occurred. Personally, in my long-term investment portfolio, which is entirely in SIBs, those are self-administered pension plans, and also in ISAs, I won't be changing any of those positions. I'm not troubled to ride out a reaction or correction in those positions, because I believe this is a new bull market and that they'll go higher later on. But I'm much more cautious in my trading now, as you may have noticed. Okay, now what about this US dollar? I don't think it can see more than a short-term technical rally in here at present. And I do think we will see the dollar go back and test the lows that we had seen just about a year ago, mainly in that June and July period. Now, in terms of the various different markets, the industrial commodities continue to look very good. Crude oil is the most important commodity by far. It's back up above $70, $71.31 as I speak. Now, because crude is such an important commodity and such a liquid market, it can be pretty volatile, but it doesn't get the peak to trough swings that we see in some of the other markets. And I suspect that industrial metals, before this cycle is over, will have scored the bigger gains on the upside. And they're being led by copper, but the whole sector is firm, even aluminium, which I consider as in a slightly different category when compared to copper, zinc, tin, nickel, and lead, in that those are all base metals, whereas the aluminium is a product. So, but I should point out that even aluminium has now firmed, so we have real commonality there. Now, precious metals, I also like, but they're in a consolidation phase, and I wouldn't be surprised if they ranged for seasonal reasons here for a while longer, but I do expect another strong move to the upside before year end, and carrying, in all probability, carrying well into Q1 2010. And what else to mention? Long-dated government bonds. I'm annoyed not to have a short position there right now. I had one before I went on a holiday last month, and then closed it just because I wanted to reduce my overall exposure. But the important point for investors is that these long-dated government bond yields are ranging higher. So bond prices are coming down as people move away from the depression and deflation discounting and readjust to the probability that we're seeing nothing worse than a very severe financial recession, which will certainly keep GDP growth lower than what we saw in that 2004, 5, 6, 7 period. But and it will also keep some of the inflationary pressures down. But as I mentioned before, we are seeing the inflationary pressures in stock markets and commodities. Stock market inflation won't trouble bond investors that much, but commodity price inflation will. And also, bond investors know that yields at current levels really are not competitive if we're thinking about an economic recovery at some stage next year. And I think that pretty much covers all the bases here today. So I'll just wish you a very good evening and all the best.